There's a mitzvah of tshuva which applies throughout the year, which the Ramban derives from the pasuk Yom Mitzvah Zis. Then there's a pasuk in Achrimos of Lifnei Hashem Titoru, and Rabbeinu Yoina says there's a particular mitzvah on Yom Kippur to do tshuva. Part of the mitzvah sayayim. Purim has Adal Yoda, Rosh Hashanah has Shofar. Now there's a mitzvah sayayim to do tshuva. So according to Rabbeinu Yoina, the emphasis of Yom Kippur, the particular emphasis of Yom Kippur, is rooted in Lifnei Hashem Titoru. There's a mitzvah sayayim to do tshuva by Yom Kippur. The Ramban, when he talks about Yom Kippur, the Rambam doesn't agree that there's a special mitzvah to do tshuva on Yom Kippur. So the Rambam just says a very simple thing. That time is running out. The Yemei Adin are closing. So if you want to get in your tshuva for this year, you've got to meet the deadline. So it's not because it's a specific mitzvah of Lifnei Hashem Titoru. It's the general sense of the mitzvah's tshuva. Except the urgency is that before the gate closes, at the end of Nilo, we want to run through the tshuva to be accepted. So Elo has certainly the aspect of the Rambam. What's the significance of Elo? The significance of Elo is, this is the last shot before Rosh Hashanah. The last month. So whatever we haven't accomplished yet this year, it's time to accomplish. So that's the urgency. According to Rabbeinu Yaina, it goes even deeper than that. Because we realize tshuva is not something that in most cases a person could do in sha'achas. And even we have a few outstanding stories in Shas where a person did tshuva b'sha'achas. The Mashor writes in Avodah Zarah that it's a tshuva, but the person that did tshuva over a longer throughout his life is a whole different madriga. So it's hard to do tshuva on the express train. So if I wake up on Yom Kippur and I want to be Mekayim Lifnei Hashem Titoru, it'll be very difficult. It's tshuva is a process. It needs time. It needs focus. It needs effort. So we have to begin beforehand so that by the time we reach the situation of Lifnei Hashem Titoru, you know, that we're in gear. It's possible for us to succeed. You know, if we wasn't going to start on Yom Kippur, there's no way he's going to succeed. So, I mentioned Shabbos, the notion of Rav Itzel Petterberger, that the Gemara gives three Mesholim and reports on all three Mesholim on something which is elementary. Everyone probably that attended Rosh Hashanah davening in his life knows the basic text of the Nesana Tekev, Rakavakora, Asroya, Edro, Ma'avetzayna, Tacha, Shifto. There's the shepherd. Each allows one sheep at a time to pass in front of him. That's the way we pass in front of the Rabbanu Shalom. And that's the Gemara's first explanation of Kivnei Moron, the Mishnah, that we appear in judgment, Kivnei Moron. The whole world knows this. There are certain images which are captivating. This is one of the captivating images. Kavakoras Roya Edrei. Yet the Gemara brings a Shimon and Lokish Rish Lokish. So it brings an Aldo Pshat. And it's like a narrow mountain pass with a steep cliff on each side. and only enough room for one person to go through. And then finally, the Gemara brings even another pshat, Kichayoloi Shabbos David, as the soldiers in the army, in David's army, they march according to their orders as the general sends them off, one after the other. And the Gemara reports this machlekes. I mean, an idea which is so elementary. You don't have to be from the world's great philosophers, alumdom, to understand. You know, we can't hide in the Rabbim. Sometimes it's good in this life that you hide together with the Rabbim. If you go on the highway and everyone's speeding, so you also speed. Why? Because listen, if everyone's going at 10 miles over, 15 miles over the speed limit, they can't pull over the whole highway, so they're not going to bother you either. You disappear in the Rabbim. Gemara is telling us in Rosh Hashanah, as much as we have Zchus HaRabim, but we can't disappear in the Rabim. It's individual scrutiny. The Rabbeinu Shalom is going to come to observe us. I have a very simple idea. So we need three Mishalim for this. So as I mentioned Shabbos, Rav Itzler said that the issue is articulated by the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Dav Ches, that Melech Vehedyet, if a commoner and a king come before the Rabbeinu Shalom in Mishpat, so the king is taken first. Why? Because the fate of the king depends on that, hinges the fate of an entire nation. And consequently, the earlier one is accepted in Mishpat is more Midas HaRachamim and less Midas HaDin. He says we ought to get in as early as we can. The question only is, how do you get to the front of the line of the Din? He says there are three ways, and all three mashalim are true. One is kivnei moron ki imrona, like the sheep. The shepherd opens a tiny gate, and he allows the sheep to leave one by one. And what order did they go out the gate? The strongest one pushed the weaker ones to the side, and they go out first. The weaker ones are never left, you know, until there's nobody stronger than them, and then they go out. This is in the Mishpat of the Rabbeinu Shalom also, the mighty ones go first. Who were the mighty ones? He says, the tzaddikim of the door. He says, most of us don't have to worry about that problem. It's one of Shechifim, one of the tzaddikim, and Meila were in there. If we're not one of the tzaddikim, so it's not relevant to us. Either way, that's one group of people. He says, Kichayolo Shabbos David. You see the army going forth to battle. Does anyone know, except the commander-in-chief, why every unit goes where it goes? This unit is for defensive purposes. This unit is for a feint. This unit is to prepare his attack. A million cheshbonos he has. But the casual observer, the soldiers are flying all over the place. This unit shifting here and here and up and back. And you don't know what's going on. No idea. He says, "V'chanoisi asher ochein v'richamti asher arachem." The Rabbeinu Shalom has his cheshbon, and he's merachem on certain people, and he's inscrutable. We cannot understand it. That's what he told Moshe Rabbeinu. Certain people have a schus. We have no idea what that schus is. The Rabbeinu Shalom pushes them to the front in the mishpat. He says, since we don't know what it is, that also doesn't help us any. But there's a third group, and that third group is relevant to us. He said, in a mountain pass, who goes first? There is no room to jostle. If anybody pushes, everybody flies off the cliff. So who goes first? Whoever arrives first, goes first. He says, you go to the security in the airport. There's a line. So the first person that comes is first, second, second, etc. And that's the way it proceeds, one after the next. Sometimes you just have to show up early, and that's, you get to the front of the line. So he says, we can all show up early. But what does showing up early mean? It means that we start dealing with the Yom HaDin. We start preparing for Rosh Hashanah. If we start preparing for Rosh Hashanah, then we're online. So Baruch Hashem, the nature of most of the world is to do everything at the last minute. That's the nature of most of the world. So a person that wants to seize the opportunity to jump ahead is very easy. Doesn't have much competition. So he suggested, in order to Ritzel, was a Talmud of Rav Yisrael, that at least one should start learning Musar from Rosh Chodesh Elul. But the emphasis is to seize the moment. Seize the moment. All of life presents opportunities. The problem is that a lot of them we just sit back and we watch the opportunity come, we watch it go. And I say, you know, it would have been nice to have taken it, and that's it, and we just sit back. The saddest thing in life, to me, one of the saddest things in life is to witness squandered opportunity. I was in Eretz Yisrael many, many years ago in Tovshin Chof Tes. I came there at the end of Tovshin Chof Ches, the beginning of Elul. And I came back the next year, already almost a year later. It was the end of Tammuz, after Tisha B'Av, Tovshin Chof Tes. So in June about, I was on the bus in town to take care of someone who's coming back. And I'm with another guy on the bus, also went to learn. And this guy is very sad. Well, he says, I took off a year of my life and stopped going to college, whatever he was doing, to devote myself to learning. I came there at Yisrael, and I got busy having a good time. Not a good time. But that was June, and what I came here for, I didn't accomplish. It's gone. I made a conscious decision to come here and to do something. I came, I got distracted, and the whole year went by, and I didn't get down to brass tacks. One of the saddest statements that I ever heard in my entire life. Elul tells us this opportunity. It's opportunity now before Rosh Hashanah, there's opportunity throughout life. But it's the sensitivity to undertake it, the sensitivity to do something about it. That's one of the major lessons of Elul. We found something very, very interesting. We talk a lot of times about Zchus HaRabim and Shlomo HaMelech writes in Mishlei about Toidim HaShnayim and HaEchad. Because if they come under attack, two can defend themselves better than one can. So Rabbi Yonah writes something very, very interesting in his analysis of this. It says, Shlomo HaMelech gave many, many different mishalim that we find. Shuv bo, Moshe Shlishi. A third Moshe. The negative influences that we're exposed to externally. From non-believers and scoffers. If one person attacks them, two will stand up to him. And also Moshe. And what did he mean to tell us? Shachevro lo elis bedover nikula ayin. That it is obvious that chevroshaft, friends, associates, help significantly in avodas Hashem. Ki abode katreg o lachloik, if a person wants to persuade someone to do something that he wants him to do, even if it's imbrab, is yinatzeach es ha'echad. So we can find a person that he can convince. That could happen. But by and large, if he tries to talk, convince the whole tzibur, he's not going to succeed. And he gives the moshel. You take a rope, for example, go out to a ship and watch. They have these ropes that pull up the masts. Thick, almost as thick as your fist. What's it made of? Tiny, tiny little fibers, insignificant fibers. And the fibers that it's made of, a baby could tear them. But once you weave them together, the strongest man is helpless. Pulled all he wants. There's no way. You know, if you take a saw and you work at it, yeah, eventually I guess you'll cut through it. But with your hands, as strong as you are, you could pull all you want. That rope is not going to move. So Rabbi Yonah says, this is the notion. We have to unite Tzibur, the whole Divrei Avodas Hashem, to serve the Rabbeinu Shalom, the Mishmiras Mitzvos and Bitturoisim, and Shmiras HaMitzvos and Torah. If we're united, then we can push off all negative outside influences. So there's a notion of Tzibur, a Yochid by himself can get himself into all types of trouble. But if a person has chaver, it provides a person with an anchor, with a stability. You know, it's sometimes we're not zeicha to do everything the Shem Shemayim even. But better we should do it shalom the Shem Shemayim than not do it at all. So some things I won't do, for what reason? Most days I won't do them the Shem Shemayim. But today the Yetzirah got a hold of me. And he did a job on me. And I'm ready to cave in. Except to have one little problem. What are my three friends going to say if I do it? So it restrains me. It helps me to get back on the straight and true. And often it even doesn't even come to that. We have Chevra. The association with like-minded people strengthens us. Obviously, to tell my Talmidim, I said, you're 15 years old now, I want you to take out a piece of paper. And I'm going to tell you something amazing, and I want you to write it down. And I want you to put it in your wallet and leave it there for 15 years. And after 15 years, I want you to take it out, and you'll see that 98% of the time that I'm right. He said, I'm going to tell you right now how firm you're going to be at age 30. Good trick, no? Tell a 15-year-old how firm he's going to be at 30. I'll tell him, very simple. You're not going to be as firm as your parents. You're not going to be as firm as your aveyim. You're going to be as firm as your chaverim. Whatever your chaverim are, that's what you're going to be. That's what you're going to be in life. Because that's by and large the people that we associate and define for us what's doable and what's not. And it's a very real sense. It's not even in a shallow sense. A person's expectations of himself cannot usually be beyond what he's exposed to with his chaver. I have a chaver who taught Balei Tshuvos in Eretz Yisrael for many years. So one day a guy comes to him. He's about to get married, and he asks him the following shaila, a very interesting shaila. He has X amount of money. Now he could rent a modern apartment with modern appliances, and the money will last. That's all he has. It'll last Y amount of time. Or he could rent an old Rishalmi apartment with inferior appliances, and it'll last Y plus amount of time. So which one should he do? Good question. So Machaber didn't know what to tell him. So he schlepped him off to Rabbi Yosef to ask Rabbi Yosef what he should do. So Rabbi Yosef told him that he should live according to the way his peers live. That's the same lifestyle he should live. He shouldn't live in a lesser lifestyle than his peers. Right? And then there, here you're dealing with a person that had raised 10 kids in 2 rooms. Right? His kitchen was that small that there was no mezuzah on the way in, only on the way out, because they didn't have dalet al dalet inside the kitchen. And the waiting room where people waited to see him was a closed-in porch. And the refrigerator was in his bedroom because it wouldn't fit into the kitchen. But he understood the world. He understood, yeah, I came from that time and that place, and I could live like that. But you don't come from that time and that place, and you can't. Or if you try it, you'll be miserable. You'll never succeed in being Eved Hashem. Meaning that the parameters of our avodah are really defined to a large extent by the people around us that we deal with. And we can't wind up usually much different than they are. It's psychologically and emotionally not feasible. So chevro is a major, major aspect. And that's one of the things we have to thank the Rabbeinu Shalom for. One of the things we have to attend to greatly. Chevroshaft, how important it is. It's not just the social aspect of life, you know, we're social beings. We need a social aspect of life too. But it's much deeper than that. The being part of a tzibur is a major strength that we have in Avodah Hashem. And a person on his own, he doesn't have it. And especially in the world in which we live. You know, the world goes through enormous changes, and more rapidly. In the 18th century, they started to feel the effects of poverty, the after effects of Shabbatai Tzviism, and Torah grew considerably weaker in the 18th century. And the system that had prevailed through most of the time of the Rishonim and the Achronim until then, that there was a great rov, and he had a yeshiva, and Talmidim would come, they'd sleep in the shul, and they would learn by him, and whatever, he helped them out, whatever he could. That system had basically fallen apart, petered out. It just was not functioning anymore. So the Vilna Gaon told Rav Chaim of Volozhin that he should start the yeshiva in Volozhin, which he did a number of years after the Gaon's death. It started a new system that we come together as a collective entity, or a group. We live together, we stay together. This was necessary. As the Haskalah intensified, it became more and more necessary. And in today's world, it's a very necessary thing. No person today is shielded from everything that goes on in the world. There are no barriers today. You know, the digital age, there was a time, you built a wall and it kept the world out. And that's it, you didn't mix with the world. Now there are no walls. So Chavashaft is even more important today, where we belong. And the appreciation of that as we prepare to serve the Rabbeinu Shalom and Yom HaNaron is essential. The realization that as a chevra, we have tremendous strength, much more than any yochid could conceivably have, and at a time when we particularly need the strength of the Rabbim. So something very interesting in the Sforno and Tillim. Kapitel Nunbeis, and David HaMelech is decrying Doeg HaDoimi. Doeg produced a great catastrophe because of him. Novir Kayanim was wiped off the map. David HaMelech's life was placed in danger. A lot of terrible things happened. So David HaMelech says about Doeg, Ahavta ro mitov, you preferred evil to good, sheker midaber tzedek, and falsehood rather than righteousness, sell it constantly, Ahavta kol divrei vola, you preferred all things that were perverse, lashon mirma, things that were distorted. So he says, what's the pshat? That ahavta kol divrei vola, so the Sforno writes, kol divrei ashkosa, you preferred all manner of things perverse, lahore is patera shalagalo, you paskened incorrectly. This was your star. And why did this take about Lashon Mirmosh in Teroscho Alemen Asofu L'chutz? The Torah was an external study, an intellectual study. And therefore, you willfully play with the Torah and you distort it with improper interpretations. Now, Torah is an intellectual process. Math is also, Lahavdil is also an intellectual process. But there's an essential difference between the myth is ultimately something external to the person. It's a body of knowledge that he has. This is the person, this is knowledge. They're two separate things. It just happens to be that he has this knowledge. You know, Torah is not merely an intellectual exercise. The Torah is to permeate the person, to make a metamorphosis in the person, that the person's a different person. The persons of Torah is a person of Torah. Chazal had no respect for a person that had great knowledge, but he didn't have midas in Yerush Shemaim that were commensurate with it. Chazal said, an avela, he's compared to an avela srucha, like a putrid carcass. The person could, if his learning is menasof olachot, it's an intellectual exercise. The Rashash was a very, very wealthy banker. He lived in the mid-19th century, and he wrote one of the most enormous Perushim on Shas. It's almost not a daf in Shas that doesn't have the Rashash's Chidushim. And we see they're well-received, Lomdim. Spend a lot of time with the things that the Rashash has to say. The Rashash had a library of 40,000 svarim. Now, you know, if you stop to think what it means that 150, 170 years ago we had a library of 40,000 svarim. Svarim were very expensive and very difficult to come by. But he was a very wealthy man and a huge Talmud Chacham. So we had a library of 40,000 svarim. When he passed on, the Rashash endowed a library in Vilna. But since he endowed it, he wrote the rules. So the rules were the library was open 7 days a week. But on Shabbos, there was no Chilul Shabbos allowed in the library. You could come and learn, but you couldn't write. And until the war, the Strashun Library in Vilna was a unique place. You could have at one table two Yidden with beards and kapotis sitting and learning, you know, Shas and Rishonim. At the next table, you could have two Maskilim learning too. What did the Maskilim come for? They didn't view this as a Dorasha. A person that's Chinese. So normally, if he's Chinese and you live in China, so you would want to study the culture of your people. That should be first and foremost. This is the culture of your own people. But the Maskilim wanted to study the culture of the Jewish people. What was the system of justice that we had? What were the laws? How was society organized? Don't worry about. Now, this is very dear to them. Because this was the culture of their people. Just didn't have to do with the Rabbeinu Shalom. But it was the culture. And in Europe, Yadus and the culture were inseparable. And even to a certain extent, it still remains that way. Much, much less so today, but in certain things we can still see it. You can have people that are totally non-observant, and they sit shiva. Why do they sit shiva? Because that's the way Jews mourn. That's it. That's the culture I grew up in. My people, that's the way we mourn. Sit shiva. It's not a halacha, it's not a shulchan aruch, it's not a rabbi. It has nothing to do with that. Just culturally, this is what you do. The yadis and the culture were inseparable. So you have one person who's learning because Torah tziva lanu Moshe. Torah shalom rosh hakilas Yaakov. He is Anochi Hashem Elokecha. He is the Rabbeinu Shel Olam and Tonik, Anochi. And the next person, it's a Golish. It's Jewish. It's Jewish culture. That's what he's involved in. For the person that has Jewish culture, it's Menasof Olachutz. It's an external thing. It's not the Mensch. It's not him. It's so different than his learning of myth. when a person learns Torah and commits himself to learning because it's the Dvar Hashem, so he's a different person. It's a different mitzvah. Changes the person. The person that's committed the Torah as the Dvar Hashem, and to live his life by what's in the Torah, not only by what's in the Torah. It's a whole different mitzvah. So this is one of the things that we have to strive for. To integrate Torah at that level. Not only is just a fascinating machlokes the Rambam and the Ravid. But to realize the Dvar Hashem. The old time Lamdim knew how to stress this. Still remember, I don't remember which Rebbe it was, but he would introduce a Mishnah, Zuk the Heilig Tana from the Mishnah. The Holy Tana of the Mishnah taught us the following. To stress the connection, the Kedusha Satara. That aspect, not only is it an intellectual study, but it's a connection to Rabbeinu Shalom. So Elul is the time to turn our thoughts, to get the agenda rolling forward, as our Itzala said. To understand the Milas Hatzibur. The strength of Yadus today is rooted in Tzibur. Not so much rooted in the mighty individual. In earlier times, to withstand the Nisyonis of earlier ages, one had to be a very, very strong individualist. Our strength today is the tzibur, is the community. Our strength is our neighbors are learning Torah. Our neighbors observe kashrus. And we do too. You know, my father, Oliver Shalom, told me, and I heard this from a friend, the father of one of my friends too. Father grew up in Brooklyn, my friend's father grew up in Washington. So from all the chevra that he was with, 40, 50 chevra that he was with, he's the only one that remained from. All the rest of them got lost. To be from under those circumstances, one had to be a very rugged soul. Our circumstances don't demand today such rugged individuals. Our strength is the strength of the tzibur today. One of the other things that we have to think about in Elul if we want the love of the Rabbeinu Shalom, then we have to love his children. If we don't love his children, then we can't ask the Rabbeinu Shalom that to love us. That's elementary. The Ava of the Rabbeinu Shalom for Klal Yisrael. At the end of Parshas Kisetze, this week's Parsha. So we have the Parsha Mechias HaMolek. So we have Yizanei V'chor Kol Anecha Sholim Acharecha. So Rashi says they were chaseri koyach. It's the polton onon. They were chaitim, they were sinful, and they were rejected from the onon. So Rashi is obviously bothered that in the entire journey in the Midbar, we were protected by the onon. So nobody could harm Klal Yisrael. So how did Amalek succeed in harming Klal Yisrael? How did this take place? Because they were sinful, so Polt on Onan, the Rabbeinu Shalom wouldn't let him stay in the Onan, and they, together with the Shekhinah, they were thrown out. Along came Amalek, and they attacked these Yidin, who? The Chaitim. And because they attacked the Chaitim in Klal Yisrael, the Rabbeinu Shalom has an undying enmity. Not because they attacked the big Tzaddikim in Klal Yisrael, they attacked the Chaitim in Klal Yisrael, the ones that were unworthy of staying within the honor. And for that they have the undying enmity of the Rabbeinu Shalom. That's the Ava of the Rabbeinu Shalom, Bonem Matem Lashem Elokeichem. So we have to ask ourselves, with those around us, if we have that level of Ava. Now, the Rabbeinu Shalom is real tainus on us for the things that we do we're not supposed to do. Most of the things that we clash with others are more personality issues than reality and substance, most times in life. So, if the Rabbeinu Shalom can transcend the fact that we violated his will, are we ready to transcend our anger at others and accept them because they're bona matem lashem alakeichem, they're our brethren, they're our family, they're our neighbors, our associates? I'm friendly with Ramosh Chodesh, the Rosh Hashanah Yeshiva Aral Choron Yerushalayim. He's the son of Ramea Chodesh. Ramea Chodesh was from the greatest Talmidim of the Alter Rebbe Slobotka, and he was the Mashgiach and Chevron Yeshiva forever. So, in a yeshiva, you don't do anything that you would like to do unless you go ask the Mashgiach Rishus to do it. So, in his Chabura with Ramea Chodesh, they got it right. You know, Lashon Hara is not a good thing. Or they decided they should, in their Chabura, they should learn Sefer Chofetz Chaim to become more meticulous in their observance of Lashon Hara. But you have to ask the Mashgiach Rishus. So they said, okay, your father's the Mashgiach, you go ask, you know. So he goes to his father, tells him what they want to do, and his father reacts coolly. He's not excited about the idea. Well, he says, stop it. He says, what could be bad? Say, learning the Chofetz Chaim, Shmiras HaLoshon, Sefer Chofetz Chaim, what could be deficient in that he's not excited about it? He says, I'm not excited about it. He says, I want to ask you to follow it. You go to the doctor, and your finger's killing you. So the doctor, okay, says, listen, here's a painkiller, go home. Well, but why is your finger killing you? He didn't even bother to examine. He didn't treat the underlying problem. It hurts. Here's some painkillers, go home. Don't you think the doctor should examine the thing and see why you have pain there in the first place? Maybe you have a bone spur. Maybe it is an internal infection. Who knows what the problem is that has to be straightened? A bone is broken. He has to fix the problem. So if you're a decent doctor, you first you address the problem. Good. Meanwhile, you're uncomfortable, so I'll give you a painkiller to take care of that while it heals. But don't send him home with a painkiller and don't do an examination of what the problem is. So he says, you guys, he says, what are you up to? He says, you want to take a painkiller. He says, ask yourselves a different question first. He says, why do you want to speak Lashon Hara about another Yid? He says, that's the first question you should ask. But why do we want to speak Lashon Hara? Because we don't have the requisite Avas Yisrael. So the first thing we need to do is to strengthen ourselves in Avas Yisrael. Yeah, it's true. After that, because of our deficiencies, we're not there yet. We'll work on correcting the disease. So we have to deal with the symptoms. So we have to learn Sefer Chofetz Chaim to make sure that we don't burst through the proper barriers. But if you just want to work on the symptoms and you don't want to treat the disease, you're going about it the wrong way. The realization of Bonim Atem Lashem Elokeichem, that we are all bonim before the Rabbeinu Shalom. The Yerushalmi is amazing. A famous Yerushalmi in the Dorm. It talks about Losika, a person shouldn't take Nekoma. So what's the moshel the Yerushalmi gives? It's a butcher. So he's holding the piece of meat with his left hand, and he has the knife in his right hand, and then he cuts, and he slips with the knife, and he cuts the finger on his left hand. So he decides, okay, my right hand cut my left hand. So now I'm going to take the knife in my left hand, I'm going to take the comma, I'm going to cut my right hand now. With my left hand, I'm going to give him the right hand is the culprit, right, the perpetrator. So that's it. He cut me. I'm going to cut him back. So he realized it's absurd. He says, all of Klal Yisrael is guf echad. So because the right hand hurt the left hand is not going to cut up the right. But that regish, that was guf echad. And guf echad is a very, very profound concept. I'll end with this. How can a person be mekayim taryag mitzvahs? The answer is he can't. Why? Because there's no person that has taryag mitzvahs to do. A kohen has the brocha, the mitzvah to do birchas kohen. I'm a Yisrael, I can't do birchas kohen. I can do a pidyon aben. A kohen can't do a pidyon aben. It's potter from pidyon aben. So who has? Nobody has 600. How can you do all taryag mitzvahs? There are two ways. One way is through limud haTorah, that if you learn the Rameya Simcha writes, that if you learn the Torah of every mitzvah, is kili you did that mitzvah. That's one way. And the second way is vayanu kolom yachto vayimru kohu asher dibur Hashem nasa. That we're part of the collective entity of Klal Yisrael, and we, as part of that collective entity, we do the Torah. So I do pidyon aben, the kohen does birchas kohen. So collectively, Knesset Yisrael does the taryag mitzvahs. But that's if we're a collective, if we're together. But if we don't have the requisite ava, we're divided, then I don't have taryag mitzvahs either. So the necessity is a very profound one. So these are things that we need to think about in Chodesh Elul as we begin the preparations 3 weeks hence for Rosh Hashanah, Agudat Achra B'Yisrael.
I didn't mean any disrespect.
No, Khalilah.
I came in and I shouldn't have done it.
That's fine. I didn't mean any disrespect.